This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
In Jesus' mighty name. So last week we started a sermon series that I called The Mercy Journey. The Mercy Journey. And I showed us some slides. Please get the PowerPoint slides ready. I showed us some slides, statistics. These are real hard numbers. They went and they surveyed the country across the nation. They went across the nation and they did a survey. And they found out a number of things. But when we started last week, I defined mercy based on dictionary. It's not my definition. It's dictionary definition. And the dictionary definition of mercy is showing compassion or forgiveness to someone that it is within your power to hurt them or harm them. But instead of hurting them or harming them or getting revenge, we show them compassion instead, or we forgive them of their wrong. And the main thrust of part one is that mercy begins from the heart. If you don't have it in you, you can't give it. You can't give what you don't have. And the Bible tells us that this our heart, the unregenerated heart. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, it said the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. And it is desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? That is why it is natural for us as human beings to do certain things that are not godly. Ungodly things are natural to human nature. Revenge, wickedness, and all of those type of things, they are just natural. They're just natural. I gave an example last week, but since you were not there, you don't need to know about it. It's not a good one. It's something about my past. But if you want to know it, you can go listen to the sermon. It's on podcast and Podbean. And because of this, the Bible says it is important for you and I, Proverbs 4:23, that we guard our hearts. We protect our hearts. We watch what goes in, what we feed our heart, what we feed our spirit man. It's important that we protect our heart, because out of our heart flows the issues of life. The New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The course that your life will take is determined by what is in your heart. And we talked about three truths about mercy. I said, number one, we are all lost and in need of mercy. The scripture tells us that for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Number two, we said all have sinned and don't deserve mercy. Rather, we deserve death. But instead of death, God has been gracious to us. And that is common to humanity. Number three, I said we have a God who is waiting and willing to give us mercy. And all of that we got from the story of the prodigal son. Yes? So we didn't get to this part, but I'll just rush over it and then we'll get to the part for today. What ought my response to be to God's mercy? How many of us have received mercy from God? The dose that I've received is enough to go around everybody. Amen? So how should I respond to the mercy that God freely offers us? Number one, I must acknowledge that I've done wrong. Do you know if I say, be merciful to me, in that statement is an acknowledgement of guilt. I cannot ask for mercy for something I don't admit I have done wrong. So the very fact that I'm asking for mercy, I'm saying, I did wrong, but don't give me the punishment that I deserve. That's what I'm saying. So My first response, because God is merciful, the psalmist said, God is plenteous in mercy. So my response to the mercy of God is to admit that I have done wrong. I have done wrong. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, of the goodness of God. Amen? So first, I admit that I've done wrong. And secondly, I must repent. If I admit I've done wrong, then the next thing that I ought to do is a change of course. You know, so repentance is changing my ways. All right? Repentance is I'm going north, and then suddenly I realize north is not the way. I need to change course. I need to go south. That's repentance. I make a U-turn. So I repent, and then I come back home. And we see that in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the Bible says famine came. He was very hungry. He was suffering. And then he came to himself, and he said, you know what? I will go back home. I will tell my father, I have sinned. Have mercy on me. Amen? And thirdly, I must forgive and be merciful to others. So if I have done wrong, and I'm asking others to be merciful to me and forgive me, shouldn't I give the same to others? If I have received forgiveness, if I have received mercy, ought I not to give mercy to others? I should. I should. I should. So that should be my response. But listen to this. Everybody, please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And if you are following on the app, the sermon for today is already on the app. This is just a review of last time. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read 30, 31, and 32. Ephesians 4, 30, 31, 32. Said, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Why? Listen. Remember, he has identified you as his own. He said, don't bring sorrow to the Spirit of God. Because he has said, you are mine. He has said, we are one. Therefore, don't embarrass the Holy Spirit. And how do I embarrass the Holy Spirit? Next verse, 31. He said, don't do that. And the way to not do that is by getting rid of all bitterness. Say, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. 32. Instead. He's talking about a change of course. He says, instead, be kind to each other. He's talking to the church. He's talking to Salvation Center. He's talking to me in particular. And I believe he's talking to someone in particular here today. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You know, I said this last Sunday, that some of us, I'm sure, we were born again. You know, but some of us, we were not born again. In fact, it took a long while before we became born again. Amen. And in that period, we had done such terrible things that only a merciful God can forgive. And he has forgiven you. Even after you have given your life to Christ, you have still misbehaved like I have done. But he has been merciful to us. He has been kind to us. Let me tell you something. One of the things I've noticed over the years is as this sermon series is going on, God is going to present opportunities to you to show mercy. And the real question will be, how are you going to respond to that? How are you going to react to that? It's easy to talk about these things, but when the rubber meets the road is when we will be able to determine whether or not you have learned anything. So I tell people, if I'm praying, say I have I don't. Somebody has anger problem. Right? If someone has anger problem, how would that person know if they have been praying, Lord, help me with this anger. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be angry. How would they know that God has answered their prayer? An occasion will arise for you to be angry, and you will not be angry. Then you will smile and say, wow, God has really helped me. If it was before, by now, smoke is coming out of my nostrils. In fact, seizure has started because I'm so angry. You know, so the journey that we're taking, we say the journey mercy, how you are going to know that you are engaging with the word of God is when that situation presents itself, how you respond and how you react. So let's look at some of the statistics because some people were not here last week. Very quickly. First one, please. It says one quarter, that's 25% of practicing Christians say there is a person they cannot forgive. That is one out of every four believers is saying they have a problem with someone that they can never forgive the person. Can I tell you something this morning? I'm your pastor, and trust me, I love you very dearly. There's no unforgiveness in heaven. Oh, we will settle in heaven. That person will not make it there. There's nothing to settle in heaven. You lay every weight. You set it aside. Let's continue, please. Please, just stick to the slide. Almost half of practicing Christians, that's one in two, practicing Christians say mercy doesn't influence their thoughts or actions, or they haven't even thought about whether it should or it shouldn't. Meaning, when I'm dealing with people, being merciful is not a thought in my mind. I just give them what they deserve. I deal with them accordingly. I deal with the situation accordingly. Next slide, please. One in five, 20% of practicing Christians report struggling to receive forgiveness for something they have personally done. It means people are not letting go. God has forgiven you, but you are still holding on to the past. Next slide, please. Christians struggle or grapple with whether, listen close to this, with whether certain people deserve compassion or forgiveness. It means Christians are selective. I say, this one is so terrible. No mercy for this one. You have to die in your sin. And they are not all that different from non-Christians when it comes to embodying merciful attitudes and actions. So the survey is telling us when it comes to being merciful, we are not like God. Christians. We have the nature of Christ, but we are not behaving accordingly because we are not different from those that don't know Christ. Next slide, please. And this is a new one. This is for today. Listen to this. Just 13% of practicing Christians express deep compassion for someone who has personally wronged them. It means only about 1 out of 10 Christians will see someone that has offended them suffering and have empathy for them. It means 9 will say, good for you. It's my head that caught you. It's because of what you did. That's nemesis. That's nemesis. You know, and you say, children, you shouldn't mess with children of God, though. Because when you mess with a child of God, judgment is coming on your head. And that is God's judgment on your head. What we all deserve is death. But instead of death, God gave us life. Instead of death, he gave us eternal life. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So even though I deserve death, even though you deserve death, he gave us life. Can we be like our Father? Can we be like our God? We will have a much healthier body of Christ, if we are like our Father. Somebody is saying in their heart, oh, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Do you know what I did to Christ? He hung on the cross and he looked at the people that had beaten him and nailed him to the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Amen. I pray that God will touch our hearts and God will change our minds in the name of Jesus. Let's look into the text for today. The introduction, if you're following on the app, it says the depth of your disappointment, how much disappointed you are, is directly proportional to the depth of your expectation. What do I mean by that? If I have no expectation of someone, they can never disappoint me. It's because I expect certain things from you. When you don't do it or it doesn't happen, that's when you get disappointed. Similarly, when it comes to being hurt, someone you don't care about cannot hurt you deeply. The people you love, the people you care about, are the ones that can really hurt you deeply. There's an old song. It's not a church song. So don't sing it out loud if you know it. It says the first cut is the deepest. You know it. Are you born again? It cuts deep. The more you love, the more the depth of the hurt and the pain when it happens. Amen? And that is why in families it's difficult when there's a problem. To forgive becomes a challenge. So today we're talking about mercy in our homes. Issues between parents and their children. Issues between husband and wife. Issues between brothers and sisters. It is difficult, if not impossible, for words of a stranger or someone you don't care about to hurt you deeply. We will have to question your feelings. You know, you're walking down the street and some John Joe is saying nonsense about you and you are crying. Be like, what? Do you even know the guy? It really doesn't matter what he says. I just look at him. This guy didn't take his meds today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, the psalmist said in Psalm 55 from verse 12, said, it is not an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It is not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. 13. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion, my close friend. What's he saying? He said, the reason it hurts so much is because it is someone that is so close to me. Verse 14. Verse 14 says, what good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. I love the way that the old King James puts it. He said, it is my brother, my friend, the one that we went to the house of the Lord together. So the closer the bond, the deeper the hurt. The closer the bond, the deeper the hurt. That is why it is easy for best friends to become worst enemies very easily. You see a lot of this in scripture. You know the story of David and Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's right-hand counselor. And when there was a betrayal and a rebellion, Ahithophel went with the enemy. For whatever reason, there's a reason for it. It cuts deep. cuts deep. So much so that David was praying, he said, Lord, make the counsel of Ahithophel become like foolishness. Why? Because of the bond. Because of the bond. Or even Absalom, his own son. But you will see in the story of David, that's not what we're looking at today, but in the story of David and Absalom, even though Absalom had committed treason, he still didn't want him to die. So my question is, who is that member of your family that has hurt you very deeply? Is it your spouse? Is it your brother? Is it your sister? Perhaps there's somebody even here today, there's a brother you don't talk to anymore. Blood brother or blood sister. Or someone in your family that say, you know what, I will never speak to this person anymore. What God expects of us is to offer what we have received. And what we have received of the Lord is what? Mercy. Remember Judas and Jesus, they ate bread together. They broke bread together. But you know, if Judas will have run to Jesus, Jesus will have offered him mercy. But he chose to take his own life. The example I want us to look at quickly today is the example of Joseph. I think it's a classic example of sibling rivalry and the dangers that can come out of sibling rivalry. We don't have time to read all the scripture, all the text, but you know the story. In Genesis chapter 37, that's where the story began. And we see Joseph started out, telling tales, tattle tales. He went out to the field with his brothers, and every time the brother did something, he ran back. But dad loves him. Dad loves him very much. In fact, dad loves him so much that dad made him a coat of many colors. But he will run back and tell stories. And because of him, or because of the stories, because he was always reporting his brothers to their dad, they hated him. You can follow along on the app. I'm just going to run through this, not in any particular order, so we can get everything in context. So, he told stories. The brothers hated him because he told stories. They hated him even more because the father loved him. It's not his fault that the dad loved him. Would he go to dad and say, Daddy, please don't love me as you love me because they are hating me because of your love? Some of the people that don't like you for things that you cannot do anything about. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was in the university, I don't know what you would call such a role here in America. We had what they call faculty officer. What would that be here? A faculty officer. Anyway, some big shot in the faculty, okay? Some big shot in the faculty. My friend's mother hated me for no reason, and I didn't even know it. A friend of ours was living with them and is the one that will come back and tell me the stories. I'm like, what? The boy would tell me what I wore, describe how I dressed. I know yours truly was a fine boy. Just like to dress to kill. You know, so I put my tie, I dressed up, you know, looking good, my necklace hanging around, you know, just looking fine boy. Fine boy, I did it for the girls, not for the moms. Looked like mom was paying more attention than the girls. She hated me. I didn't know why. Till this day, I have no account for it. So some of the things people hate you for is just the way God has made you. They say you are just too happy. Everything, she's just laughing and smiling. That's the way God wired me. That's the way he wired me. You know, and then some other people say, he doesn't smile. That's the way God wired me. I don't have problem. I may not smile, but it doesn't mean I have a problem with you. Can you please let me? My wife and I, we are night and day. She's happy. I mean, the much that I'm doing is because of pastor role. Because if I'm behaving the way I, nobody will stay. What kind of pastor is this? He doesn't smile. He doesn't hang out. He doesn't. So I try. So if I don't do as much, please appreciate the little that I'm doing. I have really come out. Sometimes I ask myself, I say, God, why will you make me a pastor when I don't have the pastor thing? You know? But it's God. It's God. God does whatever he chooses to do. Anyway, let's continue. Let's continue. So Joseph, the father loved him and they hated him for that fact. The father made him coat of many colors. Will the father make him coat of many colors and he will not wear it? No, he's not. The father will not be happy. So they hated him for things he didn't have control over. Let me just skip all these details. Joseph, one day, the father said, Joseph, go see your brothers. They are feeding the sheep in my pasture in Shechem. So Joseph goes to Shechem. He gets to Shechem. He didn't see them there. So he inquired. Dependable, reliable guy. You know, some people will turn back. Their home to Shechem is about 50 miles. Okay? He said, 50 miles. Let me just go back home and tell dad that. I didn't see them. No, Joseph was not like that. So Joseph inquired. No, somebody saw him wandering around and said, hey, what's the problem? He said, I'm looking for my brothers. I'm looking for my brothers. So they said, oh, they've gone to Dothan. Dothan is another 15 miles away. He trucks to Dothan to look for them. The scripture says, as they saw him coming, when they saw him, he said, here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. He said, let us kill him. Brothers, they have the same last name. Amen? Same blood. Same last name. He said, here comes the dreamer. Let us kill him. So they began to, no, don't let's kill him. No, let's do this. No, let's. Anyway, when he got there, what did they do? They threw him in the pit. And then this, listen close. Listen close, because they build up to where we're going. So they threw him in the pit. While he was in the pit, they were negotiating what they would do with him. So let's kill him, and then we'll kill an animal. We take the blood. We tell the dad that an animal killed him. He's hearing them. And then suddenly they saw merchants, slave traders. And then somebody said, if we're going to destroy him, let's destroy him and make profit in the process. He's hearing them. His blood brothers, no strangers. His blood, his flesh and blood, they are negotiating, profiting off of his life, selling him as a slave. They had no sympathy, no empathy. Nothing in their heart pricked their heart to say, no, this is wrong. We can't do this to our brother, except for one. Anyway, they sold him. And after they sold him, the Midianites took him and they got to Egypt. Potiphar bought Joseph. Think about how this can mess anybody's mind. You are now a piece of property that is being sold and purchased. The Midianites bought him. The brothers sold him. The Midianites bought him. The Midianites sold him. Potiphar bought him. And then one day, Potiphar's wife lied on him. She's been pressing him day by day, pressing him. Lie with me. Lie with me. He refused. And then she lied on him. He lands in prison. He ends up in prison. Even in prison, he was still Mr. Nice Guy. One day he saw two guys. He said, why are you guys sad? Think about, can you just imagine yourself in Joseph's shoes for a second? You've lost the love of your dad. You are now in a foreign land. You are a slave, somebody's property. A woman has lied on you because you did what was righteous. You are now in prison. What's your own with somebody that is sad? If they like, let them go and commit suicide. That's their own problem. Do you understand what's your own? What's yours with them? You know? But he was not moved by that. Joseph was still looking out for others. Joseph, he said, why are you sad? He said, I had a dream. Do you know, in the beginning, Joseph was a dreamer. He didn't know how to interpret dreams, obviously. Because if he knew how to interpret his dreams, he would not have told his brothers. So he told the dream to his brothers, but that was how God began to train him to interpret dreams. That's just extra. Let's move on. Are you following? Now, he tells them the interpretation of their dreams. He said, you can just say your last prayers. You're going to die. And the guy died. He said, you're going to be restored. And when they restored, he said, please remember me when you get. When you read Genesis 41 or 42, verse 1, the Bible says, after 2 full years, that guy forgot him in prison for 2 years. The life story of Joseph is a recipe for a life of bitterness. Whatever you're mad and angry about, does it compare with Joseph? Is the question I have for us this morning. Does it compare? Because the whole story of Joseph is a build-up for someone to never forgive anybody. Because everybody he cared about betrayed him. Everybody he helped forgot him. Every right thing he tried to do was turned around for evil for him. But Joseph, somebody say, but Joseph, stayed focused. He stayed focused. Let's read Genesis. Oh, my goodness. Genesis 45. I'm going to read from, no, we just skip. Let's look at the steps that Joseph took towards forgiveness. How about that? And then we'll read text as we go. Number one, friends, hiding the emotions that you're feeling is not going to help you forgive. Joseph, first and foremost, expressed his emotions when he met with his brothers. Let's read Genesis 45, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, Joseph could stand it no more. Remember, the famine is in place now. I'm jumping a lot. We can't read all the text. We're always pressed for time. The famine is in progress. Everywhere in the world, there's no food, except for Egypt, because of Joseph. Joseph is now the prime minister. Everybody came to Egypt for food. So his brothers showed up in Egypt because they are looking for food. Joseph saw them. He recognized them because they were still looking like the old losers that they were. They had no change. But Joseph, God has increased him. His head was bald. His face is painted like an Egyptian. So they didn't recognize him. So he's looking at them. What should I do? I don't know. Maybe he was praying. Lord, Holy Spirit, give me guidance. Should I slap these people? Should I lock them up? Should I kick them in the butt? What should I really do? But the Bible says this is the build-up for this now. Verse 1, Genesis 45. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room. And he said to his attendants, out all of you. So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. But listen to this. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians could hear him. And word of it quickly was carried to Pharaoh's palace. He expressed the emotion. In most cases, what we do, somebody has offended you. He said, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. You know in your heart it's a big deal, but you are in denial. You are in denial. Until you are ready to express the emotion and face up to it and said, you did me wrong and I feel such and such and such about it. So you can have a conversation about it. If you're going to have a resolution that will lead to truly forgiving and extending mercy to somebody else, you must talk about the issue. You can't sweep it under the carpet. All the stuff you swept under the carpet, the day is going to come out. It's going to come out like an atomic bomb. Because the pressure, boom, everything comes out at the same time. You are not even sure where to start. So the first thing is, Joseph expressed his emotions. If someone has wronged you, someone has offended you, express that emotion to that person, not to somebody else. It's no use you go express anger to somebody else that has no bearing in the story, which is what most people do. Number two, Joseph revealed the wrong. What they did wrong to him. This is what and what and what and what I perceive that you have done to me. You express it to the person. You give the person an opportunity now to explain themselves. Verses 3 and 4. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, I am, listen now, Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. He's confronting them with the wrong they have done to him. He's saying, this is what you did. I am not crazy. This is what happened. When you present the case to the individual, they may not be able to say, well, I was broke. That's why I sold you. It's still a reason. I needed money. That's why I betrayed you. But at least you can now have a meaningful conversation. Amen. Number three, Joseph recognized God's purpose. This is where the vast majority of us, this is where we miss it. And by the grace of God, at least on a few occasions, I've been able to identify this. Joseph was able to appraise the situation and saw that it was God's purpose for him to go through what he had gone through, that God allowed it to happen for his own benefit, for his own purpose. So he turned a tragedy into a praise report. There was a guy that almost beat me up in my office in the old church. In fact, I went back to God and I prayed. I said, Lord, every pastor you have sent me to work with, I have served them. Why? When? Why did you send this guy into my life? I have never in my life been disrespectful to any pastor that I've served. Never, never. Why? Then God showed me. He said, son, it's not about him, it's about you. Oh, yeah. God, for the first time, God showed me, he said, you have anger problem. And it took this guy to bring that anger out of you in a level that you have never seen before. I said, yes, it is true. If anybody prior to that will tell me, you know, you have suppressed anger, as in me, my alias is humility. So God will allow certain things. If we are not careful, we will lose the whole point of the situation. So for Joseph, he was quick to pick it. He said, God allowed this. God sent me ahead of you, so I can keep you and your families alive and preserve many survivors. So he did not look at his power as a means for revenge, but he looked at his power as a means of mercy. The strength and the abilities that God has given you, how are you using it? Praise the Lord. Finally, number four, Joseph decided to forgive. Friends, people of God, brothers and sisters, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told the disciples, he said, when you pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is worship. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. He's telling them that what you give is what you get. If I don't give forgiveness, I shouldn't expect forgiveness. He said, God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that also, he will reap. Whatsoever a man sows. If you are sowing wickedness, you will reap. Nobody sows a seed and reaps a seed. They reap a avalanche, a huge abundance of whatever it is you sow. Joseph decided to forgive himself. Verse 15, listen to this. The Bible says, Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them. He kissed each of them and wept over them, and after that they began talking freely. Listen. A lot of times when people do you wrong, you know, maybe they were not thinking when they did it. But now that it has happened, that they have had time to think about, they know they did you wrong. They are not ignorant of it. If it is now in your power to deal with that situation, do you really have to rub it in their face? The Bible says the brothers were speechless the entire time. They couldn't say what will they say? We're sorry for selling you. We're sorry about all the things we said. No, there was nothing to be said. But thank God for a man that is gracious. Joseph here is a type of Christ. What did he do? He didn't say, let's have a group huddle. The Bible says he hugged them one by one and wept on them and kissed them. Hugged, wept, and kissed. Hugged, wept, and kissed. Hugged, wept, and kissed. One by one. The Bible says not until after that act did they have a voice to speak. So he lessened their pain so that there can be resolution to the matter. But many of us, I say, look at you. Now you are begging for mercy. You lost the initiative. You lost the advantage. God has given you everything. Yes, you have the power. You can do and undo. But now it's time for you to show mercy. Now it's time, an opportunity for you to forgive. There's absolutely no doubt that Joseph forgave his brothers. He hugged them one by one. What are you going to do today? Is there anybody that has wronged you? Anyone that has offended you? Are there people that you have said, I can never forgive? Would you remember the love of Christ today? Will you remember what Christ did for you and I? And call up that person and restore broken relationship. Please rise to your feet. I know our time is fast spent, but I want you to talk to the Lord. You say, Pastor, it's difficult. I know. It's hard. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want want you to talk to the Lord. Very softly. I want you to talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Report that situation to God. Report that situation to God. There's at least a couple of people here this morning. Yes, they wronged you. They wronged you. In fact, if you tell me the story, I probably will agree with you. That, don't forgive them. But that's what man would do. But Christ has forgiven us. Christ has forgiven you. Some of you need to call your parents. You need to call your dad. You need to call your mom. You need to apologize. You need to apologize. Father, we thank you. Lord, every time you give us a word, is because we need to hear it, not somebody else. If those people needed to hear it, you'll be giving it to them where they are. Lord, this is an opportunity for us to give and to receive mercy. I lift up your church to you, Jehovah, that it heal every home. Heal every family. Let your love, let it permeate every relationship. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Let us look beyond and see beyond our faults, but rather see you and your mercy that you have offered us. Father, today I surrender your church and myself unto you. Lord, help us that we may be more like you. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says you have said that we are your own. We don't want to embarrass you through bitterness, through anger, through malice, through evil speaking. Lord, please help us. Let your name be glorified. We appreciate you, Lord, because you first loved us. Lord, every sibling rivalry, every family where there are issues, that day I pray for divine intervention. You were able to restore Joseph and his brothers, and that's why we still have the 12 tribes of Israel. Every brokenness in every family, that day please heal. That day please heal. Heal, Jehovah, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. Lord, this week, as you grant us opportunities to demonstrate what you have taught us, that day I pray you will grant us grace to be doers of your word and not just hearers alone. In the mighty name of Jesus.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.